This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is 8 minutes past 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. It is March 28th. The year is 2023, and I'm Susie Jones. Dave Harrigan is the captain of the ship. I am just merely rowing the boat with my oar. Actually, I think it's the other way around. No, I'm not sure. Who's in charge? You or me?
I don't ever feel like I'm in charge, especially with you around. I'm too scared to be in charge.
Are you scared of me?
A little bit.
I would say, you know, I have that side that you just don't know who's coming.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get in trouble with Susie.
No, not many people do. But I digress. Because we're coming on, if you can believe this, 25 years since the tornadoes tore through the campus of Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, March 30th, following a tornado that ripped through that south central Minnesota town. And it got me thinking of comforting St. Peter and that terrible tornado and it tearing up so much of the town. And I was perusing as we got started for the program today about what we're going to talk about. And as I was seeing the anniversary, and I was thinking as well about the terrible, terrible, terrible weather in Mississippi and other parts of the South, that massive system that destroyed entire towns, for Pete's sake. And there was a study that said America will get more killer tornado and hail spawning supercells as the world warms, according to a new study that also warns the lethal storms will edge eastward to strike more frequently in the more populous southern states like Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee. So when I think about weather and changing climate, I think of Paul Douglas. And I said to you, Dave, do you think Paul Douglas, WCCO radio chief meteorologist Paul Douglas, would offer some of his time to talk about storms and the changing climate? And you said he said yes. So here he is, right? Hi, Paul.
Hey, Susie.
You like that long introduction?
What a nice introduction. Of course I'm going to say yes.
Wow.
Babbling about the weather? Yeah, with you? I mean, of course, yeah. I saw that study, too, and it's interesting. It's not the first study, and it certainly won't be the last, hinting at an eastward shift in Tornado Alley. And I just want to say it's not established science yet. It's interesting. It seems to add up. It's a theory mm-hmm. against reality. You know, last Friday night, that thing that was on the ground for, what, 70 miles, a mile wide, just unbelievable. EF4 probably was an EF5, but they look for specific markers in determining an EF5 tornado. Certain things have to be carried a certain distance to qualify as the finger of God. And EF5, as bad as they get. And
I've never heard that.
Some of those markers,
Paul. I never have heard that saying, "finger of God."
But that's from Twister.
Oh,
that's from the movie Twister, where they talk about an F5, and I can't remember who said, "Oh yeah, that's the finger of God."
Wow. And okay.
I want to stay on God's good side. I don't want to blame him, but yeah, it doesn't get much worse than an EF5. You have winds up around 200, and if you can't get below ground, below grade, in a basement, the odds of surviving an EF4 or an EF5 are very, very small.
It was interesting, sad, a little bit obviously unnerving to hear the woman who they all went into a cooler, a walk-in
yes.
cooler, and that was enough
right.
to save them. But
yep.
her description and the fear in her voice was just kind of chilling to know just how awful it must have been to have gone through that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's basically 5 minutes of shrieking and vibrating and not knowing if you're going to live through this. You know, 3 to 5 minutes as that thing passed overhead. Now, granted, it was moving at about 70 miles an hour, and it struck at night. So the only way that storm spotters and storm chasers could see this thing was when there was lightning. When lightning would illuminate the funnel, but it was so fat, it was a wedge tornado. Didn't look like the traditional nice little Dorothy, you know, in the Wizard of Oz kind of tornado. This thing was, you know, again, a mile wide. And so you look at that and you go, okay, is that a shaft of heavy rain? No, it's spinning. It's rotating. Uh-oh. Yeah, that whole damn thing is a tornado, and it's coming at me at 70 miles an hour, and it may have winds up to 200 miles an hour. So it does not get more terrifying than that from a weather perspective.
WCCO radio meteorologist Paul Douglas is with us, and we're talking about the severe weather that hit the south, the strength of that storm. We're talking about a tornado a mile wide. Has someone studied the makeup of a tornado from 50 years ago, 100 years ago to now? Have they changed? Are they getting stronger? Is a mile wide on a scale of 1 to 10 like a 10 in terms of greatness? You know what I mean? When you talk about a little tiny pinprint tornado to this massive swath, you know, kind of talk about how, the evolution of tornadoes, if you don't mind.
Sure, and tornadoes are really, really tricky. Unlike rainfall, where you've got, you know, a rain gauge and it's pretty black and white. Okay, this much rain fell during this flood. And now we even have Doppler radar. We can estimate rainfall amounts. Tornadoes, you know, they don't report themselves. You need people out looking for them. And so there's an apparent increase in the number of tornadoes, but much of that is attributed to just more people out looking for them, you know, trying to study them, trying to chase them, trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. You know, if you videotape a tornado, you can sell it to local TV stations and maybe the Weather Channel and make a few $1,000 if you're in the right place at the right time. So there's now this mad scramble. There used to be just a few people out, usually the storm spotters from the Weather Service, keeping an eye on this. Oh, yep, that's a funnel. Oh, the funnel just touched down. Yep, it's a tornado. They would radio that in via ham weather to the local civil defense, who would then relay it to the local Weather Service, who would then issue a tornado warning. We rely on those storm spotters, ground truth, because Doppler radar, as amazing as it is, you know, the curvature of the earth causes problems. It can't do everything. So we rely on flesh and blood human beings who are trained to be able to say, yep, that's baseball size hail. Yep, that's a tornado on the ground. But now we've got hundreds, some days we've got thousands of storm chasers out looking for tornadoes, so much so that they get in the way of law enforcement. But there's no evidence that the tornadoes are more severe or less severe, but there seems to be an eastward shift. Because it's warming, the Gulf of Mexico, the water's warmer, and that's not a theory. That's putting a thermometer in the water and saying, oh, yep, it's warmer, consistently warmer. So the air is juicier, much more water vapor, higher water content, Gulf of Mexico. Meanwhile, the Southwest is getting hotter. Ask anybody who lives in Scottsdale. Much hotter earlier, hotter and drier. And that air often pushes eastward into Texas, Oklahoma, the traditional Tornado Alley is now hotter and drier. And tornadoes don't like that. Mm. Tornadoes form along the boundary between hot and dry and warm and moist. And that boundary consistently seems to be shifting farther east towards Nashville and Memphis and Louisville and Huntsville. It's now called Dixie Alley, where many of the worst tornadoes are spinning up, farther east than traditional Tornado Alley. And they hit at night. And there is research showing more supercells, more of these giant spinning thunderstorms that can last for hour after hour, spinning up multiple tornadoes. The environment may be more ripe for these supercells farther south and east late at night. And that's a problem because, you know, if you can't see them, you can't relay good information. And Doppler radar, again, that helps a lot. The problem, too, is you have a much higher population density east of the Mississippi, just more people, and socioeconomics comes into play. A lot of, you know, people living in manufactured homes, and those, they do not do well during tornadoes. A mobile home, you do not want to be in a mobile home. Winds over, you know, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour can cause those things to flip end over end, even if they're secured properly. So it's kind of a perfect storm. And yeah, I mean, folks farther south and east need to keep an eye on this trend. It's not etched in stone. It never is. But, you know, even places like Indiana, Illinois are seeing more tornadoes. We aren't necessarily seeing more violent tornadoes here in Minnesota. But as you mentioned, the whole Comfrey thing, and I remember going down there after that hit, Gustavus, and talking to people, shell-shocked survivors in a church at the College of St. Olaf. And I just, you know, people had questions, and why here, why now, why March? Late March seems kind of early, Paul. And I mentioned to people, look, we don't live in Tornado Alley. Tornado Alley starts in Iowa. But we do live in tornado cul-de-sac. We get our fair share of tornadoes. And I every year I worry about amnesia. You know, if we don't have a big tornado year, people shrug. And, hey, you know, it says a tornado warning. Not sure I need to take it seriously. We get a lot of tornado warnings, and I never see a tornado, so I'm just going to keep sitting on the couch watching Netflix. And let me just say this. If you ever hear tornado emergency, Susie,
yes,
get off the couch and go to the basement or a small windowless room, climb in your bathtub. Tornado emergency is a notch worse than tornado warning. A tornado emergency, very rare. It's only issued by the Weather Service when you have a large confirmed tornado on the ground moving into populated areas. And that means you know, if you hear that, you've got a few minutes, maybe seconds, to do the right thing. Again, very rare. But since about 1999, the Weather Service has been using that terminology when you have an especially dangerous situation, big tornadoes moving into suburbs or cities. And so, and that's the same with flooding. If you hear a flood emergency, that means it's not a threat. It means it's happening right now. And take action now to save your life, save the lives of your family members. So, you know, if you're not just a little bit paranoid, you may not be paying attention.
Yeah.
I think it's good to be a little paranoid.
And you use the word emergency. That actually is above in terms of seriousness than a warning, right? The emergency
is
more extreme. So that's a word.
Yes, it goes. Yeah. Yep.
So just
watch, warning, emergency.
And so as we go into this, you know, 25 years that we had the tornado down in Comfrey, and as you said, Lake Hanska, 14 tornadoes swept through the region, and F3, a couple of people died, 200 homes destroyed. So it's not that it's imminent, but it's something that we need to be aware of, weather aware, going into these months, as you say, including that and flooding. To be aware of the dangers of both as we move into this time of year.
Yeah, hopefully we can thread the needle here with the flood threat. I mean, we'll see. So far, so good. I know it's frustrating. People want spring tomorrow. I want spring tomorrow. I want chirping birds and, you know, people mowing their lawns. And, you know, I want to graduate to wearing shorts and T-shirts as bad as the next guy. But if it happens too quickly, it could trigger catastrophic flooding. Especially along the Mississippi, but even the St. Croix. And so, you know, we need to tap the brakes and hopefully we just ease into spring this year, which seems to be the case. There's going to be some easing into mid-April. I don't see any rapid warm-ups. We'll be lucky to see 50, but highs mostly in the 40s into next week. But, yeah, there have only been two, three, four times in the last century where we've had this much water locked up in the snow. So if we have an instant on light switch spring where we go from 35 to 60 overnight, accompanied by rain, that could be a real mess for a lot of people. So, you know, I'm holding my breath, looking at the maps a few times a day, and so far so good, but I can't predict what's going to happen in late April. When we're still going to have snow on the ground by late April. I think by the very end of the month, it'll start to green up and most of the snow will be gone. But the next few weeks, Susie, will tell the tale.
I have to ask you this. I know I have to say goodbye to you because we've talked way too long, but it's been wonderful. I heard word, and I know you don't have exactly a crystal ball, but could there be snow falling on opening day outside at Target Field when the Twins have their home opener?
Oh, yeah. In fact, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, is it possible theoretically? Yes. Exhibit A is 2018 when we had 26 inches of snow in April in 2018, and people were beside themselves. I mean, I remember it being just as frustrated as everybody else. So, yes, it can happen. It has happened. And I'm about to look at the latest models, and I'll have an update later this afternoon.
Good.
On CCO. But, yeah, yesterday the models were hinting at rain changing to snow Wednesday of next week, Wednesday night, maybe some snow. But I want to, you know, I take everything with a grain of salt.
Yes.
And day after day, if the models say the same thing, then our confidence level goes up. Right now, it's just a small possibility, and it's too early to panic. But, you know, I'm always panicking. But, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it yet, but we'll keep an eye on that.
Paul, thank you for coming on. It's always a joy to talk to you.
The pleasure is mine, Susie. You hang in there, and thanks for doing such a great job, you and Dave.
All right, have a good one. That's Paul Douglas with us on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It is 1:29 on a Tuesday afternoon, 30 degrees now, fair skies out there. Want to remind you listening that it is Twins Ticket Tuesday. So I'm going to tell you how it works. You listen for the Win Twins Sounder, And then the third caller will win a four-pack of tickets for the home opener. Thursday, April 6th, the game versus the defending World Series champion, Houston Astros. 3:10, the home opener at Target Field, rain or snow.
I won't say 75, but I'm going to guarantee 65 and sunny.
I think you're smoking something.
Okay, Mike. Funny, you might want to bundle up.
Yeah, bring your snow pants. Listen, we're going to do that. So you'll play that.
Listen,
you won't
for the
tell
wind
us.
Twin sounder.
Okay.
Might just happen before the end of this hour.
Good.
Maybe.
That's a hint. That's a hint.
We should also mention, by the way, the Northland Ford dealers giving the first 20,000 fans a new TC Twins hat.
Oh, I love that.
Ticket details, of course, at twinsbaseball.com. But
also,
you can just win them.
While we're talking about the Twins, getting my papers in order here, we're going to have a person from the Twins, Matt Hodson. He's going to join us at 2:35 to talk about all things Twins because it's opening day week. So when is the first official Major League Baseball game?
That one is Thursday.
This Thursday.
Pre-game 2:30. We'll start just after 3 here on CCO.
And the Twins play Kansas.
Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Away.
Yes.
And
they've got a week away before they come back for the home opener the following Thursday against Houston.
Today they unveiled, as we know, this brilliant new scoreboard, mm-hmm. plus some new security measures. You don't have to take the keys out of your pocket. That's kind of nice. And then, of course, April 3rd. I mean, we'll talk more about this, but April 3rd, we're going to find out the new foods.
I've been waiting on that
because mm-hmm.
I saw 3rd. CHS Field, the home of the Saints. They unveiled some new foods.
It's always fun to attend as a reporter because you just get to eat your way through the afternoon.
Could you bring some back this year?
If I get the call up to cover the food, I will.
Thank you.
It's always embarrassing, though, when I pile my hands full of... They don't give you a big plate, small plate.
Nobody brought anything back last year, and I got to listen to Chad complain and complain and complain. So really, if you can just quiet him, that would be helpful.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we've got much more to come on the big show after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 1:38 on a Tuesday afternoon. My name is Susie Jones, filling in today for Chad Hartman, who is a bit under the weather. One story making news today. The state is beginning its case against e-cigarette maker Juul Labs and Altria in Hennepin County Court. Minnesota seeking more than $100 million in damages, claiming the company tricked young people into using a product that is dangerous and encouraged vendors to sell to minors. Now, Minnesota filed the lawsuit back in December of 2019, accusing Juul of misleading marketing practices illegally aimed at children. At the time the lawsuit was announced, the attorney general said it was a continuation of the landmark case against Big Tobacco back in 1998. We have with us on our John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, we have with us Skip Humphrey, a former state senator from 1973 to 1983, former Minnesota attorney general from 1983 to 1999, a pivotal character, an important character in that 1998 Big Tobacco lawsuit. Skip, thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I appreciate it. And you and I had an opportunity to speak a little earlier about this case. And we got talking about you and your memories of the 1998 case and what that must have been like for you those many years ago.
Yes.
What do you remember about it?
Well, I remember it was a grand fight, but for a great purpose, and it's had its It's had its results not only in Minnesota and around the country, but frankly around the world. Literally millions of lives have been extended, lives have been saved. And when we broke up the when we broke open the documents, it allowed the public to understand the fraud and deception that had been put, you know, that they had suffered. And they took the right action. And frankly, to my surprise, very quickly said, enough, we're not smoking anymore. It's very dangerous.
How hard is it for you, Skip, to see this Juul lawsuit, but more importantly, the introduction or the trend that we're seeing in so many more, particularly young people, going back to nicotine addiction via this vape? I mean, we made this progress, and then this product came on the market and sort of is looks like it's undoing some of the progress made.
Well, first of all, I want to commend Attorney General Ellison for taking on this this fight. Unfortunately, it's a bit of a continuation. The tragedy is that nicotine is quite addictive, and with the focus that the companies seem to be giving to young people, they basically want to try and get people addicted to it so that they stay on for the rest of their lives. And that's essentially what happened, you know, with tobacco. I can remember in my lifetime my father smoking quite a bit. And then he stopped, but it was, in a sense, too late for him in that regard. There's no doubt that tobacco had some effect on his life, as well as other chemicals that he dealt with as a pharmacist and out in the farmlands of South Dakota at the time when he was growing up. But the point being that the addiction and the focus of advertising, the luring of young people to use this product, I think is very unfortunate. And I'm very glad that the Attorney General is taking this action. Unfortunately, it's very much, there may be people that don't quite remember, but in the 90s, you couldn't get in a car without seeing an ad about Joe Camel. And if you thought Joe Camel was the sophisticated kind of advertising that was focused on adults, you must have been smoking the wrong stuff, because it was all oriented towards young people. And, of course, that's what the companies wanted. They wanted to get them smoking away early and then often and then forever if they could. And fortunately, we were able to break through, and when I say we, I mean that very sincerely. Mike Cerisi, Roberta Walburn, their team, the team from the Attorney General's office, it was an active partnership, did an outstanding job over a more than four-year fight. The tobacco companies did everything they possibly could to get away from us. The first very motion that they had was to try and remove the case from Minnesota to a federal court that just happened to be in Richmond, Virginia, where Philip Morris was located.
Isn't that something? Did you ever, you mentioned to me earlier today in our conversation about Mount Everest and when you started this case, and I think what that must have been like to that must have been insurmountable.
I said at the end of our fight, when we finally resolved the case, I said, you know, this feels like someone who has climbed all the way up to the base station at Everest and is now looking way up to the peak and thinking, oh my gosh, we've just basically started. My point there was that it's one thing to win the case. It's another thing to change people's attitudes and the way in which they make decisions about what they choose to eat and buy and smoke and whatever. But I was actually surprised. I thought it would take at least a generation for change. If you read the history in this in the 20th century and into the 21st century, I mean, people were really, truly smoking through two world wars and everything else. They became deeply addicted to tobacco. But fortunately, the public understood the fraud and deception that had occurred, and they made the right decisions. And they said, no more. We're not going to smoke. And just look at what has happened. We have, I mean, when you go into a room, a bar, any place, you almost never see anyone smoking. And it's not allowed in many places. But, you know, I remember very distinctly coming home when I had been campaigning a little and my wife telling me that I had to go out in the garage and take off my clothes because I smelled of smoke.
Mm-hmm. And that's really that it's the whole world has changed. I mean, we don't smoke inside. It's peculiar, which, again, goes back to the point of watching this current situation with vaping and the increase in vaping among young people has just got to be heartbreaking after that progress has been made.
Well, yes. And, you know, while the companies will tell you, well, no, we don't have any of those dangerous chemicals in the vaping mist. But what they do have is they have a very high rate. Some of them have a very, very high rate of nicotine. And in fact, much greater than even that was in a cigarette. So while you're not burning it in some respects, well, in some ways you are, the fact is that the addictive nature of nicotine is being emphasized. And I'm just very interested in watching how the Attorney General takes this on and proves up the case, because I do believe that there is a very real problem there. And families, they know that this is a serious problem for their young people.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate your time. I was looking at some of my notes. The 1998 Big Tobacco settlement was $7 billion with a B. And this one is seeking $100 million. That $7 billion, I mean, was that like pulling teeth? I mean, that's a humongo number.
Well, that was, and you need to understand that it continues. As long as those companies produce the product, they will continue to pay Minnesota forever. That's part of the settlement as well. Now, interestingly enough, the companies tried to change their names, and they said, well, no, that's not us anymore. And Mr. Ellison and others said, oh, yes, it is. You're the same company. You just changed the brand a little bit. And so I'm very pleased with what is going on. But unfortunately, we need to focus on why and how people and businesses want to produce things that are very dangerous and very addictive, particularly to young people that are not as sensitive to the long-term consequences of the use.
Yeah, you're certainly right about that. I have two young people in my life. Both my kids are vapers, and they just act so nonchalant about it, as though, you know, it's just this little thing they puff on. And I think, oh my goodness, you guys, come on, you're smart. Let's put those,
well,
you know, throw those away.
Know, that's, I'm sorry to hear that, but you know what? They're smart. These young people are smart. Have them read the ingredients. Have them find out what the consequence is for that continued use. I mean, when you think about it, you're ingesting something into the most important part of your body other than your heart. It's your lungs.
Yeah.
And it's not only just into the lungs. It goes everywhere.
It's just beyond damaging. Yeah. Well, Skip, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time. I know I caught you while you're vacationing in a warmer spot than Minnesota. So thanks for taking some time. and get out.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you for taking this up. It's really important.
All right. Have a wonderful afternoon. That is Skip Humphrey with us, former Minnesota State Senator from 1973 to 83, former Minnesota Attorney General from 83 to 99, involved in the big tobacco lawsuit. Again, $7 billion, that money, as he said, continuing to come into the state of Minnesota. It is 1:51 on WCCO. It is 1:55 on News Talk 830 WCCO, 30 degrees outside on our way up to a high of maybe 34. Still not warm enough for me. But then again, I was just in Florida for a week on Marco Island, Dave Harrigan, and I am used to about 80 and sunny. And I enjoy a little sound of a wave crashing on the shore. Do you like the ocean, Dave?
I love the ocean.
Do you go in it or you do just listen to it?
I can do either. I'm very happy to do either. I've done, pat myself on the back, the two triathlons I've done the last couple of years have been in Malibu and swimming in the ocean. And we're going back again is the plan for another one at the end of September.
I don't think I knew that you were a triathlete.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, you are.
Sort of. Yeah, I guess, technically. I have the shirts that say I finished.
That's good.
That's good.
At least you didn't drown.
didn't get eaten by a shark. You know, funny thing, the last year we were out there, the day before we race, they have what's called the Super League Triathlon, which is like a worldwide thing. These people from all over the world, and they race in teams, and they do very short bursts. So they're flying. But, you know, they're only running maybe a mile at a time or biking, you know, a couple miles. And there's, you know, a short swim, but they repeat it over and over. That's part of the race. And it would have been 2 days before our race and a day before theirs. We were out just swimming the ocean, getting used to it, you know, let's feel what the water temperatures like, get used to the waves and all that. Because you don't really get that swimming in Minnesota lakes.
No, you don't.
Found out when we came back later that day, the Super Leaguers were out doing their little practice rounds. Yeah, one of them got bitten by like a seal or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
Tore a hole through his wetsuit. He was bleeding a little bit. He was, you know, fine, but can you imagine? Goodness gracious.
You know, it's funny because I love the ocean and I love to go in the ocean and I love to get up like right around my neck and then just go with the waves up and down. It's so much fun. But my friend won't go in because she's afraid of sharks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, I don't know. I don't really worry about it. I mean, if I'm going to get bit by a shark. Jimmy was telling me, Erickson, about that red wave. There's some algae bit that we didn't see that. But we were on the Gulf side.
Okay.
And as Paul mentioned, I know it's meteorology, but the Gulf is warming. And I can attest to it because it was very pleasant to swim in. And I just – now, swimming in the ocean, though, like you said, that's hard. It's not like swimming in a pool lapse.
It is not.
No. You got to really work hard.
Well, you do.
But
you do. But it is fun. And I never thought I would do it once and say, yeah, let's go back again. But now let's go back for a third time now. Why not?
I think
it
that's
was,
a great
It
idea.
Was quite a challenge to get used to, but – beautiful out there too. That doesn't hurt.
I can't wait to hear how that goes for you. Well, we have about an hour left together before my time is done filling in for Chad Hartman. And we're going to just have some fun the last hour. We're going to make you be a part of the show. We've got a couple topics we're going to get to. We're going to talk about what shows you're watching. What are you watching right now? We're going to talk about if you knew the wage of everyone you worked with, if you knew what everybody made, would it make you work harder? After this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.